persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
Finally, I get to talk to you about the inauguration. Sometimes it's frustrating when major news develops on Monday because I don't get to talk to you until the following Saturday. Almost everything has been said that could be said, or has it? Let's take a look at some inauguration anomalies. Melania's homage to V for Vendetta. Barron's interesting exchange with Biden. Trump's mauve tie. Not the big red Republican one, you know. His hand not on the Bible. And Roberts rushing the oath, sort of, a little bit. Anything to any of this? Well, wait for it. I beg your pardon, part two. Further insight into what Fitton is calling Pardongate. And please listen carefully to my argument against the abusive use of presidential pardons. And let's consider what's going on in the country that provoked the Revolutionary War. London Bridge is falling down again. And wait till you learn the dark underpinnings of that nursery rhyme and how apt it is to describe woke's London scene. Then we'll compare that to what's been happening in America since Trump was reelected. Okay, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Inauguration anomalies. Was Melania making a statement, air quotes, to Biden and company? I mean, a statement that goes beyond fashion, but was a menacing combination. Some noticed her inauguration attire called to mind the iconic character in V for Vendetta. Now that's a word we don't use often, combination. It refers to the threat of an open and public denunciation, a threatening proclamation delivered by an outward sign, symbol, or verbal declaration that vengeance is coming. It was a clerical statement or curse upon someone that they had come under divine censure and condemnation. Now, many of us noticed the interesting resemblance of Melania's fashion statement to the garb worn by the iconic character from V for Vendetta. This novel, made into a movie, deals with revolution, resistance to dictators, personal freedom, you know, the use of symbolic communication also. It's a tribute to triumph over dystopian forces. Did Melania consciously don this elegantly dramatic dress and hat as a tasteful, elegant, formal attire befitting the honor of something so portentous as this swearing-in of the most iconic political figure since, well, I'm Reagan, I'm not sure it comes to this level, Lincoln, or even Washington in some respects, or was it all of that, but something more? Was it a message to Biden, Harris, Obama, to the Clintons, Jack Smith, Ergeron, Mershon, Fanny, et al.? The list is long. The message could hardly have been missed unless by the most obtuse among them, like Kamala. A quiet, dignified jab to the conscience of her unjust tormentors. And with them, I wonder how the FBI agents who rifled her drawers felt as they watched her walk down the aisle in black, like a judge approaching the bench to announce sentence upon the guilty. And what did Barron say to Biden? It was a class act to step over there and talk to him, but what did he say that did ashen that man's visage? I mean, did you see Barron's look back at Biden as if, I don't know, checking to be sure his words hit the mark? Anyway, a closer look suggests it was a generous act, gentlemanly. And that, at least according to an expert lip reader, all that Barron said was, exactly. Responding to Biden's casual comment, it's good to see you, man. And then, exactly. Maybe we don't have sufficient context to understand the exchange, but it seems that Biden did. I mean, take a look at that face, right, after the brief exchange. Here's another angle showing that when he, and by the way, I've got all these links to the videos and stuff in my notes. Here's another angle showing that when he leaned in, apparently he wasn't whispering anything to Biden. He was greeting or having an exchange with VP Harris. Hey, friend, things go on with a handshake that send very strong messages between men, and perhaps it was that simple. His response, sort of like you called me a man. You're right about that. Exactly. if you know what I mean. Oh, one of my favorites, Mr. Neil Diamond. Hey, why didn't Trump wear a bright red tie that screened Republican like he did in 2017? Instead, he wore one that was mauve. Was that an accident? Mauve is a mixture of light blue, something in the spectrum between blue and green, and then that mixed with red. Huh. A statement to the Republican Party, which he has single-handedly changed forever. For the better, by the way. Perhaps this represents the color shift in both the Republican and Democrat parties. But you can read way too much into these sorts of things. Well, why did he not lay his hand upon his mother's Bible like he did in 2017? And his mother's Bible sat atop the Abraham Lincoln Bible. This time, his hand hung by his side while his bride stood by him, stately-like, with the solemnity of Lady Justice, her eyes shielded by her vendetta hat, wearing a serious, classic cat-caught-the-mouse smile. In her hands, she held both the scales and the sword of justice. The Bible. Trump's hand hung resting by his side. He'll not interject himself into the matter, leaving the scales and sword to be covered by the invisible hand of God. I thought I noticed some subtle confusion caused by Klobuchar. A little bit of a fumble there. But put the first lady not quite in position. She had to kind of maneuver to get into position. Stuff like that went on. And maybe that's all this was. Wink, wink. And by the way, just in case you caught that, Roberts did not include against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. He recited the oath accurately. In fact, exactly like it's found in the Constitution. And I have the reference here. The reason Kavanaugh used these familiar words in the oath for vice president is because that's what they were doing with the vice president all the way back into the 1700s, 1784, 1789, somewhere in there. It's the Oath Act or something like that, passed by Congress way back then. And so that language was established by Congress for the swearing in of Congress, and the vice president is, after all, the president of the Senate. And then it's also used for other federal officials and so on. I used a version of it when I went into the Army. Anyway, Kerry was to be accompanied by the Marine Band for America the Beautiful. She was accompanied by America instead. That was beautiful. Something happened and the band could not play. Kerry was informed and decided to go a cappella, which is to be without accompaniment, and asked her audience, if you know the words, help me out here. And I think that made it really, really intimate and personal and really, really sweet. I thought it was great. And it's like America joined in and we sang America the Beautiful. Personally, I thought it was a much better, more classy touch than using the band. Don't get me wrong. I love the Marine Band. I've heard them play some extraordinary patriotic songs. But America the Beautiful is a very intimate and spiritual song. And a band that depends on a lot of shrill tinny horns, in my opinion, is not the best accompaniment, but that's just my musical opinion. Okay, my friend, let's get in some other stuff here. I beg your pardon, too. Further insight into what Fitton is calling Partengate. Now, for those not familiar with Watergate, that's the scandal that started every other presidential scandal getting called or tagged with Gate. The most recent was Russiagate. After the first two or three Gates, it began to lose its impact and meaning. But Fitton is sharp, and he knows what he's doing. Pardongate is appropriate here because what Biden did with these pardons has more to do with cover-up to hide crimes than anything remotely connected with mercy or justice. Biden is covering his crimes with these pardons, and that's what Watergate was all about, a cover-up, like Whitewatergate, for example. Anyway, now listen carefully as I explain what must be done about Biden's abusive use of presidential pardons to provide a cover for his crimes. The power of presidential pardons is virtually universal. That is, with regard to the law, federal law. quote, the president shall have power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States, except in cases of impeachment. There are limits. Obviously, the president cannot absolve guilt or sin. He cannot protect the guilty from divine retribution. Keep that in mind, Mr. Biden. This power is limited to federal crimes. That is, it does not include crimes prosecuted by the state. However, under all matters of United States federal law, the president has the power to set anyone he chooses outside the reach of legal repercussions for crimes committed. The only exception stipulated in the Constitution is in the case of impeachment. The U.S. Supreme Court has had occasion from time to time to look into use of presidential pardons when there's a question raised. For example, in 1866, President Andrew Johnson pardoned a former Confederate soldier, and that raised some eyebrows. The court ruled on the matter and said this power extends to every offense known to the law and may be exercised at any time after its commission, either before legal proceedings are taken or during their pendency, or after conviction and judgment, end quote. Now, this has in view a pardon extended after an offense has been committed. So far as I know, the first preemptive pardon was issued by Gerald Ford on behalf of outgoing President Richard Nixon in 1974 over the Watergate scandal. Nixon had not been charged, but he had been accused, and the political climate was one where this was regarded likely. It's too complex an issue to address fully here, but what I will say is that the pardon was not challenged. There is a presumption of legitimacy, but the question of whether the preemptive pardon is a legitimate use of presidential pardon power has not been tested in the courts because it wasn't brought forward in a court. The courts just can't weigh in on something. It has to have the matter brought before them. So the point here is that the question is open to challenge. Another question that should be raised is whether a presidential pardon can be used for himself and or his family. Now, this seems obviously inappropriate, and as Mike Johnson said, it's something unforeseen by our founders. The minute you go to the unforeseen argument, you open the door to a plethora of nonsense arguments to curtail the rights of Americans. So let me address this briefly as an example, the argument that our founders could not have foreseen the development of arms such as we have today, or social media, that kind of thing, but staying with the arms argument, and on that basis claim some kind of power to curtail our rights to bear arms is bogus nonsense, because the right to bear arms, for one example, was granted when one might have procured cannons, equipped their ships or boats with cannon, including exploding cannonballs. And yes, exploding cannonballs were used in the Revolutionary War. The founders put no restrictions in their general statement that the American people would never be deprived of their right to bear arms. The key principle is this. The Constitution was not written to put limits on the rights of the people. However, it was written to put limits on the rights of government and their use of power. Reasonable restrictions on the powers of government is proper and appropriate and fitting with the spirit and content of the Constitution. The president cannot be allowed to shield criminals. The president cannot be allowed to shield criminals from justice for crimes they might have done, for which they have not even been charged? That's nonsense. So this really, it must be challenged, and this must be corrected, and the people must speak to this matter. No government official has the right to expand the government's power or restrict the people's rights. Call for Biden's pardons to be challenged. They're already openly challenging Trump's J6 pardons, have you noticed? They're going to squawk and howl and fuss and fume about the J6 pardons no matter what you do. They cannot afford for the J6 prisoners to get to the microphones and start suing the DOJ for abuse, and so suing the government under 28 U.S. Code Section 2513, unjust conviction and imprisonment. I'll need to take a short break, so my dear friends, please, hold on. I'll be right back.
They're back. That devilish manufactured disease. And they're already talking about forcing us to strap those dirty face diapers on our faces. If you believe in informed consent, here is the book that will help you. Let My People Breathe Unmasking the Mask Controversy with Science and Scripture, available wherever you buy your books. Is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing to enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Now we've got him on the run. Let's keep pressing our current advantage. In light of this, consider what's going on in the country that provoked the American Revolution in the first place when they attacked the colonists' rights, specifically the right to bear arms. London Bridge is falling down. By the way, the earliest and most accepted origin story for this rhyme goes way back to AD 1014, when the Viking leader Olaf Haraldsson supposedly pulled it down during an invasion of the British Isles. Though this is disputed, it speaks of an invasion by a crude and uncivilized people, which in some ways and in some measure corresponds to what is going on right now in London today. Here's a demon-possessed 17-year-old man in England who killed three girls ages 6, 7, and 9 years old. One report tells us he stabbed one of these children over 100 times. In his rampage, he stabbed 11, killed these three. The Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Labour MP for Holborn and St. Pancras, and leader of the Labour Party, Keir Starmer, denies the allegation that the man was Muslim and denounces the protesters as, quote, far-right and, quote, thugs for having the cheek to be angry. Now, this is the land that attempted to take away the rights of the colonists to keep and bear arms. Axel Muganwa Rutacubana, born in Cardiff, Wales, and moved with his family to Southport, England, and I think that was in 2013, committed this crime. Chief Constable Serena Kennedy reported that Rutacubana was in possession of an Al-Qaeda training manual. UK, United Kingdom, is constantly putting their Islam invaders before the people of Britain. So they're getting upset with this. So it's not at all difficult to understand why the Brits believed the constable and are angry at the officials who hide from the people the truth about these invaders that are taking over their country and their association with radicalized Islam. So Brits, weary of this, gathered at a mosque near the killing to show their anger at this evil. The United Kingdom police typically side with these hateful murderers, so it's understandable why the people are angry and they're kicking at their little police cars and everything. And they're done with this already. The powder keg is about to blow. And it won't be folks' powder keg. It'll be the powder keg of the people, frankly. I don't know whether this religious family, as it's called, was Muslim or Catholic or Christian, but I do understand why the people would believe the report of this constable over the denials of their official government, pushing their narrative. Okay, to conclude today, let's look at what is happening in America right now since Trump has been reelected. Former director of the CIA, John Brennan, has had his security clearance revoked. Trump's new national security advisor has sent dozens of National Security Council staffers who are responsible for the Ukraine nonsense, the Iran thing, North Korea. They've all been sent home on suspension. Their access to the White House has been revoked. Those who are not on board with America First are out. By the way, that's the mistake Trump made going in the first time. He didn't want to come in with an axe and start chopping everybody out and cutting everybody. He came in, I'm sorry, but with some naivete. I get it. But he knows better now. He knows where the enemy is embedded. It's in our bureaucracy. Representative Thomas Massie introduced H.R. 645, the National Constitutional Carry Act. Yeah. He said no one should have to beg the government to exercise a constitutionally protected right anywhere in the country. End quote. Amen. President Trump's Secret Service Director Sean Curran is cleaning house. 10 senior agency officials have been put on notice They're going to be fired, demoted, or forced into retirement.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Planned Parenthood, you know, that outfit started by that genocidal maniac Margaret Sanger, whose tradition of ethnic cleansing through promoting abortion among black communities has been carried forward aggressively in America by Democrats with deep state protection. You know, that Planned Parenthood. The one killing babies with our tax dollars. Well, anyway, it's in the crosshairs of divine judgment, Romans 13 style, executed through proper and legitimate government. Speaker Mike Johnson declares effectively that the House will move to defund Planned Parenthood. Trump has pardoned the J6 hostages. Muriel Bowser, mayor of D.C., is obstructing the law, and she is complicit with the D.C. prison gulag administration and guards who are refusing to release the hostages per the presidential pardon, rightly and legally executed and delivered. These people have never been about law and order. Their time of usurping the Romans 13 power, like their predecessor Nimrod, and using it contrary to the will of God and of the people of the United States, that's over for him. She and her illegal army of prison guards, some allegedly hired in from foreign countries, by the way, and used to inflict torture and inhumane treatment upon our prisoners, those prisoners who especially refused to cooperate to sign their confessions. Yeah, they are guilty of approving, shielding, committing these crimes under the color of law to perpetrate crimes of inhumanity against these patriots, and they must be arrested and prosecuted by Romans 13 justice in the hands of true ministers of God, as they're called in that passage. Now, I'm referring to the Bible, by the way, Romans 13, 1 to 6. Arrest Mayor Bowser. Arrest every official in that prison who committed these crimes, including those that had knowledge of these goings-on and said nothing. Put their case in the scales of truth and justice and lay upon them the sword of vengeance, as God ordained. Because, friend, the fact is they stole the scales and the sword, and they used these wickedly to deprive Americans of their human rights and dignity. If we allow them to get away with these crimes, we are complicit in them. They made the law void, and unless we correct it with judgment to restore justice as God ordained, then we will be held accountable by God himself for their crimes. Romans 13 says, these evildoers must be judged or there will be no justice in our land, and that will leave us exposed the fall of divine wrath. Now, I'm convinced Bowser is hiding these J6 hostages because she's trying to cover up her crimes. The Biden holdovers are moving J6ers around, like playing some kind of a shell game here, to avoid releasing them. But some true ministers of God are watching carefully and aggressively, following this, and these who are appointed to execute the vengeance of God's appointed sword, they're on the case. Six have been found in Grady County, Kentucky. Another was discovered to have been moved to Canada. The wicked J6 committee members pardoned unjustly by Biden have been put on notice. Expect a subpoena soon. Thank you, Mike Johnson. Representative William Timmons announced, quote, buckle up because we're going to get to the bottom of the nonsense select committee for January 6th, end quote. Interestingly, the pardon actually serves the interests of getting to the truth. Now, because they've taken and received these pardons, they cannot claim the fifth under interrogation, under oath, and they will be held accountable under oath for their statements. If they lie, the pardon isn't going to protect them. It doesn't provide cover for what they do after. They can't hide now. Go get them. And let's get to the truth. Now, here you go. Oh, even Putin agrees the Ukraine war would likely have never started if, quote, the victory wasn't stolen from him, he's referring to Trump, in 2020. You can watch the interview right here. I've got a link. Okay, listen to this. Trump has given the ATF, the DEA, and the U.S. Marshals Service the green light to arrest illegals, adding almost 10,000 new federal agents to the deportation squad. Trump has authorized ICE to terminate, quote, terminate the parole status for 1.5 million aliens, end quote. Hallelujah. Reports of child rapists, murderers, and thieves being arrested. A Haitian gang member arrested recently was caught on film angrily cursing Trump and thanking Obama and Biden. Yeah, I hear it. Right? You listen to it. I got the link here. Trump sent the Army Corps of Engineers back to Western North Carolina to rebuild all the bridges and roads. Why wasn't that done already? One lady reported she had repeatedly called Biden's FEMA for help and was told, well, as soon as the roads and bridges are repaired, we'll be able to send you some help. I'm telling you, these people, every one of them ought to be brought up on charges for dereliction of duty, criminal negligence. Listen, it's outrageous. How are the people supposed to repair the roads and bridges? Biden never even thought about sending the Army Corps of Engineers, really? And apparently FEMA never even thought about... This is a case of criminal incompetence. Is that a thing? No, it's not a thing. All right, criminal negligence then. Yeah, okay, that's right. This is not about incompetence. I agree with that. It's about dereliction of duty and criminal negligence. Thank you. And how about malfeasance? Failure, especially of a politician, to perform the duties required by law. And the most fundamental of these duties is to protect the people and address national calamities when they occur. And as for woke, it's all sayonara, man. Many goodbyes. Well, my friends, I have lit the lamps of the church belfry arch, and I ask you to call me and say, lights on if you like what you've heard and agree, or lights off if you don't like it and you don't agree. You call 1-805-314-2114, and I really do appreciate all of you who call. If you want me to call you back, just let me know. I'd be glad to do that. You can email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. One word, lowercase, you know the drill, .net, though it's not a .com, it's .net. Find the contact button, click it, and then send me a short message or a long message, whatever you want to send. So call me or email me or come on by the church and let's meet. God bless you, God bless America, and I'll see you in church.
Hear these words, we will not comply. So don't even think about it. We will not shut down our schools. We will not accept your lockdowns. We will not abide by your mask mandates. And we will not tolerate your vaccine mandates.
They're back. That devilish manufactured disease. And they're already talking about forcing us to strap those dirty face diapers on our faces. If you believe in informed consent, here is the book that will help you. Let My People Breathe, Unmasking the Mask Controversy with Science and Scripture, available wherever you buy your books. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.